Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 19th of December, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the fence is now razor sharp, Q, the storm, and then an open mic. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambith. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you keep your comments and or questions as short as possible to allow others to participate. We are in the question and answer mode, which means one at a time, unless, of course, I unmute you on the main panel, and then we can have multiple respondents. Our website, at least until today, our website was www.PastorDan, that's all together, PastorDan.net. Unfortunately, as of about 4 o'clock this afternoon, that website is not available. So I don't know if that's an attack or just a glitch or what's going on with it. But as of tonight, we're not able to get to that website. So I've got to do some work to get that back online. And once I do, of course, that's where we keep radio shows and conference call scheduling information. References, lots of links to other websites that have the identity message or other pertinent information for preppers, a lot of health information, archive programs, etc., etc., etc. We had a quote last week, which I thought was pretty good, by Thomas Watson Sr. Nothing so conclusively proves a man's ability to lead as what he does from day to day to lead himself. Actions speak louder than words. You know, they used to teach that in the school, even when I was a boy. You don't hear about that much anymore. Actions speak louder than words. Also, they had another little one-liner they would tell us is to lead by example. A little bit of what the Thomas Watson Sr. quote here is talking about. You lead by example. Scripture is saying the same thing, that you are a walking, talking Bible to the non-believing world. Okay? Never forget that. Whether you realize you're having an impact on those around you or not, you are. By everything you do, everything you say, the way you dress, the way you conduct yourself, the way you do business with friends and enemies alike, doesn't matter. It all speaks to the character of the person. And that's what our Heavenly Father is trying to tell us through the Scriptures. Your character, okay? And the very word character comes from Caractacus, which was the name of a Briton chieftain. Ancient Britain, when Britain was giving the Romans fits. The Roman armies were virtually unstoppable until they ran into the ancient Britons. The war chariots that the Britons had were actually bigger and better than the Romans. Okay? But there was a battle that the Romans won where they captured Caractacus and they took him as captive back to Rome. And the Romans had a sort of tradition that when they conquered a warring people, they would take their leaders back to Rome and parade them through the streets of Rome, usually in cages or by walking them with ropes around their necks, etc. Sometimes they would have big stocks around their necks and have their hands in the stocks. Anything to belittle and to demean the leaders of their enemies. And the thought was that Caractacus was going to have this same thing done. And then, of course, at the end of the day, after properly belittling and humiliating him, they would execute him publicly. So the thought was by the Roman citizenry, of course, was that Caractacus was going to go the same way, since he led the Britons in successful campaigns against Romans. However, apparently another custom was that the condemned could say his final words. He could have an opportunity to speak to the Roman Senate. And Caractacus gave a speech, and I'm not sure if it's recorded in its entirety, but you can do a Google search and find the references to it. But he gave a speech to the Roman Senate and the Roman people that was so spellbinding in its logic and rationale that the Romans not only did not execute him, they turned around and honored him and set him free. And I believe his entire household and possibly even the other officers that were with him. So that's where we get the word character from, because he exhibited such a manliness and a courage. Obviously, he was in Rome, so he was in enemy territory deep. He had no army, he had no way to defend himself, and yet he bravely stood there and expressed his thoughts about the war and what the Romans were doing, basically telling him that they were foolish. Foolish because if they had approached the Britons the right way, they could have been allies. Instead of trying to conquer Britain, why didn't you approach it as, why don't you make peace and we could form an alliance? Wouldn't we better be better as your allies rather than your enemies? And the Romans were so shocked that this logic coming from this, quote, barbarian. You got to remember the word barbarian meant anybody outside of Rome, okay? So it doesn't mean people running around in animal skins drinking out of human skulls like Hollywood, typical Jewish Hollywood tries to make you think. Barbarian is just a Latin word for a non-Roman, just like the word Gentile was for non-Israelites, even though the word Gentile was never a real word. So it's like so many things today, language has been twisted, and many times our people don't seem to keep it straight. So a barbarian was just a non-Roman. So here again, character. Character is everything. The scriptures support this. Lead by example. Don't tell others what to do when you yourself are not doing it. So that quote is exactly what we're looking for. And why am I talking about leadership at this time so much? Because we're entering a period of time when the masses are going to be looking for answers. Okay. Now, we started talking about this a long time ago, and it looks like we're finally at the point where this is going to become important. I can remember doing radio shows with a multitude of guests back in the beginning days of By Yahweh's Design, where we talked about the day coming when the awakened masses would seek answers and the elect, Yahweh's elect, would be the ones that they'll look to for these answers. And we stressed back then that it was important that as many of us as possible learn the answers to all of these strange things going on, not just the corruption of Scripture, but the corruption of virtually everything, so that we could explain to people as they come out of their stupor as to what's going on. And now it appears that we've reached that point. So Yahweh has taken that fence, we always talk about people want to sit on the fence, and he literally has made that fence razor sharp. We've reached that point in time that Yahshua was referring to, where you will either be for me or against me. That's why it was blasphemy for the degenerate George H.W. Bush to use the words of Messiah when he said, you're either for us or against us, meaning the New World Order. because he was a satanic New World Order captain. So Yahshua has given us that command, and now it looks like things are lining up to actually bring that about. You're going to have to make your mind up, and this goes out to everybody. You're going to have to make your mind up at this time. Are you on the side of good, or are you on the side of evil? Are you on the side of justice, or are you on the side of depravity? You make up your mind. You got to pick one or the other. You can't sit in the middle anymore. That is gone. For thousands of years, our people had the luxury of sitting in the middle. Even the founding fathers found that out 260 years ago or so when they talked about a coming revolution with England to set themselves free. Most of the colonists were fence setters. The actual Tories and Whigamores, Tories were loyal to the crown, and the Whigamores were the independent freedom fighting patriots of the colonies. And they were almost equal in number in a great many areas. Okay. But the vast majority of the bell curve, we always talk about the bell curve, so you got the two extremes on the ends, that was the Tories and the Whigamores, that vast majority sitting in the middle are fence setters. I call them rocks because they just take up space like a rock, and they don't move to the right or left, they don't help, they don't hurt, they're just sitting in the mud or out in the field taking up space. That's the average person today. Ezekiel and others refer to them as the valley of dead and dry bones. That's the average person. Dead and dry bones. Spiritually dead zombies. Well, the good news is that Yahweh is bringing about political, geopolitical conditions right now where nobody's going to have that luxury. You're going to have to state publicly and clearly which side of the fence you're on. No more game playing. Even Washington, D.C., which is a den of thieves and liars and deceivers, is going to have to take a stand. Everybody's going to have to take a stand. This is Yahweh's plan. This is His fruition of His plan. I love to tell people about the word logos in the Greek language. It's where we get the word logic from. And logos in the ancient Greek language could be interpreted as two things. It could be interpreted as a spoken word, or it could be interpreted as a plan, because both take logic. Both take speaking to somebody. You can't have a plan and keep it to yourself and expect others to know how you want to build the pyramid or the ship or a temple or a road. So when you have a plan, you have to speak. You have to have logic. Same thing with logos as the spoken word. It takes intellect to form the words so that your thoughts can be conveyed to somebody else. Language is the science of conveying your thoughts to another person and have them see the same thing that's in your brain. That's what language is, okay? That's why it's important to try to put yourself in the shoes of the people who penned the words in your scripture thousands of years ago. And that's why there has been error brought into the world of the believer over the years, sometimes intentionally, to disarm us, to give power to the bankers, give power to governments, give power to kings, those who would rule over us. The sad fact is that many times these things are not true that they tell us. They're just trying to control us. Within us is Yahweh's law. He said, I'll put my law in their hearts. That way you can't contaminate it. You can't change it. The laws of our Heavenly Father are buried within us, folks. That's why He said, I leave you now, but I will send the Comforter. What's the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. How does the enemy, the Antichrist, the New World Order, the satanic forces that are around it, how do they interfere with communication with the Holy Spirit? They can't. Now, they can get you to interfere with it because they can get you to eat their garbage food, which will corrupt the pineal gland, which is your antenna to the spiritual world. Now you're getting fuzzy transmissions, both to and from the other side. So you're a warrior in a war. You're his sons and daughters here for a purpose. And it's a war because the enemy wants to make this world a living hell. Whereas you are his salt, you are his ambassadors, but as Psalm 149 says here, you are his saints to execute his judgments upon the peoples. In fact, we should read that maybe right now. Psalm 149, praise Yahweh, sing to Yahweh a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Now remember, saints means called out ones amongst his people. It's not good enough just to be an Israelite. It's not good enough to just be a white man or woman. You have to be called out. So his praise in the assembly of the saints, let Israel, that's a people, that's a direct people, only a select people, Jacob Israel. Let Jacob Israel rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion, that's our people, be joyful in their king, Yahweh. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with tambourine and harp. For Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the humble. Boy, our people sure have forgotten what that word means. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in honor. Let them sing for joy on their beds. May the high praises of Yahweh Elohim be in their mouths and a two-edged sword in their hands. No pacifism there, is there? And why do we have a two-edged sword in our hands? To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings, prime ministers, presidents, monarchs, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles, secretaries of state, prime ministers, assemblymen, councilmen, parliamentarians, scribes, lawyers, judges, their nobles with fetters of iron, such as in shackles. Fetters of iron are what they used to clasp around your neck or your wrist or your ankles. Fetters of iron. To execute on them the written judgment. Ooh, written judgment? Oh, you mean like Leviticus and Deuteronomy? All his saints have this honor. How about that? It's an honor to fight for our king. It's an honor. How about that? It's not a chore. It's an honor. Are we up against a powerful enemy? Yep. Powerful. Got lots of money. Got a lot of people deceived. They've got most of law enforcement deceived. They've got an awful lot of military around the world deceived. They got a lot of people deceived through the electronic media and all the toys they give. They got a lot of the propaganda out there. So are they a powerful enemy? They sure are. And they're still going to lose. And we are in a life or death struggle against this enemy. And yet it's our honor to serve our king and fight even when it looks like there's no way to win. When Gideon's army was knocked all the way down from 33,000 men to 300, do you think Gideon was trembling just a little bit? Do you think Gideon was sitting there going, man, I can't believe this. Even at 33,000, I was greatly outnumbered, but at least with 33,000, I had a chance. And then he knocks me down to 10,000. by sending all the cowards home and the people that weren't really wanting to be there. And that's bad enough, but then he wants only the smartest, the guys that are on top of things. Now I'm down to 300. Man, he's sure asking a lot. But did that stop Gideon? No. Did it stop the father from letting him know that, don't worry, Gideon, just follow my commands, right? Follow my commands and you can't lose. And Gideon followed his commands. And here's the beautiful part that we sometimes forget. Gideon's men not only defeated a much larger army, but Gideon did not suffer a single casualty. He didn't lose one of his men. That's the beautiful part. It's Gideon-type men, Radamanthine men, stellar individuals, men of what? Character. Men who, what? Lead themselves day to day as an example to their family, to their friends, and to the stranger that observes them in their home, in the marketplace, going down the road. What sets that guy apart? There's something different about him. And it could be her, too. Something different. I've had people actually say this to me years ago, right after I started talking and teaching the identity message. And they would come up to me, and sometimes it would be months later. Sometimes it would be years later. They'd say, you know, Dan, you know why I started talking to you, right? And I said, well, no, I actually don't know why, but tell me. Because there's something different about you. There's something different about you. And I knew you had something to tell me. Is that a work of the Holy Spirit? Is that a work of our Heavenly Father? Is that the scriptures coming true in your own life? Amen. Absolutely. And that applies to you and me. It applies to our brothers here in the United States and all over this earth. Whether we like it or not, we are his ambassadors and first fruits on this earth. We are the first in the chain of command from Father as head of our people. Because a lot of our people, meaning racial kin, haven't got a clue. They really don't. And they're starting to wake up, though. I was going to tell you that just today I was looking at quite a few outstanding videos that were put out. In fact, Russia Today, the American English version of Russia Today, did an excellent job exposing the states here in the United States that are imposing the loyalty to Israel upon the people and denouncing it. The best part was reading the comments below the main YouTube presentation. They have an area for people to write in their comments. The comments were astounding. The goyim are waking up. These people, I would say 80% of the comments, the listeners to this show couldn't have done a better job in writing the comments that I read today. They were denouncing as fake Jews. They were making references to Revelation 2:9. They were calling them out as the Bolsheviks, liars and deceivers. Why are we supporting Israel? It is a bastard nation and not a friend of ours. I mean, it was like watching Pete Peters or Richard Kelly Hoskins or James Brueggemann or any of the other teachers, Bertrand Comparé, Colonel William Gale. I mean, unbelievable. So the wake-up is in full swing. The fires and the yellow vests and the protesters, it's reaching out in more and more countries, especially in the countries where the white man lives. It's like the white race is becoming, wait a minute, That's right. It's in the book, isn't it? A flame and a fire. Haven't we talked about a flame and a fire recently? Sure as hell have. We talked about Ezekiel chapter 25 and Obadiah verse 18 in chapter 1, the only chapter of Obadiah. Both of them refer to our people as a flame and a fire to go after who? To go after the nemesis of the entire earth, the satanic, Talmud-thumping Zionist Jews. And a lot of people say, well, Dan, you know, the Jews are always saying that everybody just hates them because they're Jews. Well, no, people don't hate anybody because of who they are. They hate people because of their behavior. The kids up the street, I don't hate them because they're kids. I don't like them when they come and they tear up and down the road screaming at the top of their lungs when it's time for everybody to go to bed. So it's the same idea. It isn't because they're kids. It's because they're childish and have no discipline and they're disrupting the peace of the neighborhood. Well, the Jew is the exact same thing. This whole thing about people hating Jews because they're Jews is completely idiotic. It's a cover. It's to get you off guard. It's to use an ad hominem attack. It's to use sophistry in their attack against you because they have no defense. So they have to get you to feel guilty for even pointing out the fact that they are degenerates and satanic evil people that truly do want to rule the world and enslave all of mankind. They're speaking openly about it. Why? Because they believe that this is a done deal. They believe they've done everything their father Lucifer has told them to do, and that their prize is to become the masters of this world. Well, Yahweh, sitting in his throne room, is having a chuckle that these morons actually think they're going to be able to pull this off, even though he's very clear about who is in charge. But then again, the archangel that became Satan was what? He was a great angelic being at one time, wasn't he? But he couldn't keep it under control. He had to be even greater. In fact, he wanted to displace Yahweh himself. And so he was cast out. So that same chutzpah, that same hubris is in the Jewish people. It was in their father, and now it's in their DNA as well. It started with Cain, and it's all the way down through those who hate Yahweh and who hate justice and who hate all people who are not of their own kind. That's why they like the Talmud. The Talmud allows them to have this hatred against our people, and it's perfectly okay. In fact, that's why they call our ladies shikskas, because that's a derogatory term in their language, basically calling our women just pieces of meat to be used and abused and then thrown away when they're done with them. Why do you think Jews are the leaders in the snuff film industry? Why do you think it is that Jews are at the top of the pornography business and prostitution and drugs? Jews are at the top of the organ harvesting that's going on in the sex slave trade. Why is that? Because we're animals to them. That's why they refer to us as goyim, cattle, herd animals to be used. That's why they changed us from employees within a Christian company to human resources. That was our indicator that the Jews and their Talmudic brain, demented brains, had taken over control of corporate America when we went from being employees back in the 1970s to somewhere in the 1980s we were lowered in our standards to human resources. And now we have to have departments on how to handle the human cattle, the human resources. That's when you started losing your benefits and companies started treating you just like a cow, that you're no longer of any value, and so they would either try to take away your retirement or get you fired before you were eligible or to withhold benefits, etc., etc., etc. Because after all, you're just a human resource to be used until there's nothing left, and then to kill you throw you, take you out to the pasture field, or to take you behind the barn and shoot you, like they did the millions of white Christian men, women, and children in Russia. Read the books by Michael Walsh. I interviewed Michael Walsh some time ago, but go to Michael Walsh's website and read some of his books, his historical accounts of what these animals did to our cousins in Russia and the Ukraine and in Germany after the war was over. I was going to bring the book here and read it to you, but it is so disgusting, it's tough for me to read it and not break down and cry. It's very tough for me to read it and not want to lash out to every one of these demonic creatures that walks amongst us, especially when they're trying to tell us they're God's chosen people. Read Michael Walsh's descriptions of what the Bolsheviks did to the girls, to the women that were rounded up when the war was already over. How many intellectuals and military men denounced the Nuremberg trials as a joke and a travesty because it was Jews who orchestrated and controlled the Nuremberg trials? Now, all you have to do is read that or go watch that movie that was produced recently, Hellstorm. And if it doesn't make your blood boil, you're not a man. You're not a warrior. You have no justice within you if it doesn't make you scream in anger about how you've been lied to by the media, by the movie industry, and by these cucks and criminals that we call government in all of our lands, hiding this information from us, and a complicit news media hiding this information from us, even trying to convince us that these are our friends and they're so philanthropic and such great humanitarians. They care so much for the children. They care so much for us Christians. Really? Go read those books, the pages, the eyewitness testimony of the people that were at the war. Why do you think General George Patton said at the end of the war when he was over there, stationed in Germany, "We fought the wrong enemy"? When he got a look at the Jewish Bolshevik Red Soviet Army and what they were doing to the men and women and children? You know, people say, "I have a hard time believing all this here stuff, Dan, about, you know, Pizzagate and all that." Hey, dude, this is just a rerun. They've already perfected their barbarism with what they did to our cousins 100 years ago. And you're going to sit there and tell me, "Well, I just don't think that could happen, Dan. I mean, come on, I know a guy down at work. His name is Harvey Finkelbinder, and, you know, he's a pretty nice guy. He cuts up and tells jokes." What the hell does that have to do with the price of tea in China? Absolutely nothing. You're going to throw out the history of a barbaric people, bloodthirsty, and what murders and mayhem they have committed. You're going to give them a pass because you got a buddy down at work with a Jewish last name, and you think that we're supposed to overlook all that? Besides, he's just faking it anyway. I've worked with them. I know what they do. To your face, they're your friends. The whole time they're taking notes on what you do and say and where you keep your so-called private information, looking for an angle to get in on you and to use it as leverage against you. That's what they do. I worked with one out in Iowa years ago. He was the epitome of what I'm talking about. Constantly asking personal intrusive questions. Did the other white guys in the office do that? No. None of us did. It was rude. It was none of our business, but he wanted all that information. And he got angry when you wouldn't tell him. thank goodness the guy that turned me on to this message was working at that same site with me, and he reinforced me with his sage advice that don't you tell Terry anything. In fact, it was him who pointed out that Terry was a Jew. At that time, I wasn't sure if he was or not. He said, oh, yeah, sure he is. And I said, well, how are we going to prove it? He said, let's just go up and ask him. And so we did. And sure enough, he was from Canada. Jewish dad and a Jehovah Witness mom. What a combination that is. Talk about a screwed up individual. No, it's time. We're approaching the go time for what we've talked about for a very long period of time. I sure hope everybody has been making preparations, and physically, mentally, and spiritually, of course. Nobody knows exactly how all this is going to go down. Nobody does. But you are going to have a financial hiccup, a rather large hiccup in the very near future. Okay, just know it's coming. And we've said about having some precious metals wouldn't hurt. Not everything in precious metals, of course, but some. Have a few of them around if you can afford them. Definitely have some cash on hand. Again, like a good Boy Scout, why do you want to do these things? Well, a good Boy Scout on a day-to-day basis is prepared for the worst-case scenario that he thinks he's going to run into. Well, for you and me as Israelites, what's the worst case scenario? Well, that we could have another Bolshevik attempt to murder us in our sleep or murder our families in front of us like they did to the Russians and the Ukrainians and like the Chinese did to even more millions of their own people at the behest of the Bolsheviks in China. Okay? That's worst case, which means we fight. We fight to the death. I hope everybody understands that. If there's even one little shred of evidence that this is a Bolshevik play to take over, the war's on at that moment. There is no more law. There is no more facade. It is war to the death with Satan's kids at that point. If there's an attempt to disarm us, the exact same thing. The war has started, whether you realize it or not. We've been at war, actually, but it's been a limited war. It's been below the radar screen type war where the enemy comes in and assassinates in the night, and then the Jew media covers it up with a story, just like the couple that was going to testify against Hillary and the Clinton Foundation, and their house was blown up. And the cover story was that it was a gas fire. No, it wasn't. The Mossad murdered them because there was a delivery truck there that day, even though they had not ordered anything. A delivery truck there that day, that's when the Mossad went in and murdered the man and his wife. And it was the wife that was going to testify. And then they planted the explosions to blow the house up, and then they called their fellow Talmud thumper down at the local news media and said, here's the cover story. Oy vey, and we'll make sure you get some good blood money shekels for doing your job. You put it out there, it was a gas fire. Okay, that's how they operate. So have we lost people? Yeah, there's been lots of innocent lives lost. And again, if you read Michael Thomas's book, Hellstorm, you read The Greatest Story or watch The Greatest Story Never Told on YouTube. If you read the works of Michael Walsh, the Irishman who currently lives in Spain. But Michael's work is just phenomenal. Michael King, that's a pseudonym, but Michael King also puts out phenomenal information about what these creatures have done. It's sickening. Well, finally, we're at that point in history. It's either going to be them that wins or us. And between you and me, I choose us. It's a fight to the death. I've known that for a long, long time. when I first started doing this, and so many people said, Dan, why are you doing what you're doing? This is dangerous, what you're doing. And I said, it doesn't matter. First of all, my life is not mine anyway. It was given to me by the Father. I've understood that from day one. It's not my life. He gave it to me. And he can do with it as he sees fit. Second of all, I can't prevent death anyway. So whether it's in warfare or whether it's by disease or a Mack truck with my name on the front bumper, I have no control over that. The only thing I can control is what I do on a day-to-day basis. And I told the Father, if you will walk with me and I'm going to look to you for protection, then I'm going to shout this truth out to the world. And 7 years later, after telling him that, is when the internet radio was made available and By Yahweh's Design started. And it's kind of interesting. I had what I thought was a brother recently did a YouTube video on his channel ridiculing me and the men who are trying to look into the idea of a community, an ARC community. It was unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So when the Bible talks about gossipers and backstabbers and things like that, and those who cause division in the brotherhood, as the proverb talks about, the seven things that Yahweh abhors, causing division, that's what that is. That's causing division. And for what? Because he felt slighted? That he didn't get a phone call or an email when he thought he should have? Are you kidding me? That's how shallow our people have become. I say hallelujah, though, because now he's exposed the terror to me, and it's a good thing that that individual was not part of anything we were trying to do, because that would have been disastrous down the road. So Father is going to sort out those seeds that fall on the rocky soil. They got the verbiage right. They don't have the heart. They don't have the heart. They don't have what it takes to go the long distance. When everything is looking rosy and their egos are being massaged, they're okay with the fight. But when things get a little tough or their precious little ego gets offended, they go off the deep end. Well, I say praise Yahweh, because personally, I don't want those people in my foxhole. You can't trust them. Gideon wouldn't have picked such an individual to fight against the enemy. Joshua wouldn't have picked that kind of a person. Abraham wouldn't have picked that kind of a person. King David would not have picked that kind of a person. Character, folks. Character. If you haven't figured out what Father's doing with this whole mess that we've got down here, he's checking your character. He's checking your metal. What are you made of? Do you think that this pitiful, sick, demented world we live in is all there is? And yeah, you're here for a lot of years, but it goes by in the flash of an eye. Even the scriptures allude to that. Even if you live to the ripe old age of 90 to 100 years old, ask anybody that's, man, where the hell did those years go? So even though you're saying, well, I've lived through this sick and demented world, this is a flash in the pan in eternity. There is something beyond here that we can't even comprehend. But here's the one thing you do know, that it requires the right kind of metal of the men and women that he wants over there on the other side. That should be pretty obvious. So whatever goes on here doesn't matter. It's what's going to happen over there that should matter. Even the scripture talks about that. The good news is that he wants his sons and daughters to be victorious, as Psalm 149 is talking about, Obadiah verse 18 is talking about. At some point, his sons and daughters are going to rise up and say, I've had enough of this foolishness. And I believe the world is waking up right now. So you're living in the prophecy. You're living at the end of the age that the prophets and apostles look forward to, and many of our ancestors. They wanted to be alive at this time. The angels above are jealous that he has put us in this position at this time to fight the greatest fight that we're ever going to fight. The final great battle between the children of light and the children of darkness. And you're part of it. Whatever part we play in it, you're part of it. You've heard the voice. You've responded. The Holy Spirit has testified to you to the truth. You're seeking wisdom. You're seeking answers. You're seeking to cleanse yourself of sin, which is transgression of his laws. You're making yourselves worthy for the final fight, to carry the sword not in vain, but to accomplish his goals. There are people that are so wicked, that was mentioned a couple times in different reports I watched today, and even whoever Q is, Q was warning people that you're going to be made aware of things in the very near future that are so horrific that it will break down men and women in many cases. They showed a picture of a police officer in New York City who had witnessed just part of one of the videos that has been captured, and he was bawling his eyes out. And this is a big dude, bawling his eyes out. It was so disgusting what they were watching. Can you imagine the hardened individual as a policeman in New York City or Jew York City? I've been to New York. You can have it. Dirty, dirty, dirty. But to actually produce and perform the duties of a police officer there, and yet you're brought to tears. Can you imagine the things that you see going on in New York City day in and day out, and yet you're brought to tears by what these pieces of evidence that are starting to surface show? How horrific they must be. So we've been warned, even Father talks about the fact that these people are evil. Now, some of the good news, and then I'm going to open up the phones here. So, if you have comments or questions, please have them ready here in a few minutes. But indications are that finally the troops that are in Syria are coming home. They should have been here already, but better late than never, right? So our troops are coming home. Probably not only because there was no need for them to be in Syria to begin with, but also because there's things going to be happening here. The financial disaster, the Fed is raising the rates. Everybody knows that would be the trigger to bring down the Fed and the fiat money system, and so they've just done that, so the timer is ticking on that. Our preparations as his sons and daughters should have been made already. The deep state, whoever you or however you want to identify the deep state, that they're basically just criminals, evil antichrists. They have been put on notice, and there are indications that some of those sealed indictments have been issued. So very soon we're going to know the whole truth, and that's the good news, one way or the other. Either the children of light win this, or the children of darkness. Okay? A great battle is going to ensue, and you have to pick a side. Okay? Pick a side, folks. You're not going to have a choice about whether you're going to fight or not. You're going to fight. So you pick your battles, and you pick your weapons, and you pick when and where to do your fighting, but you're going to fight. If you think you're going to set this one out, got news for you. You might as well go join the enemy. What did our Heavenly Father say when he walked this earth 2,000 years ago? Oh, that's right. The lukewarm I will vomit out of my mouth. That's how disgusting lukewarm believers are to him. Lukewarm individuals. The dead and dry bones that think they can just kind of stay out of the way. They don't want to be involved. They might lose their pension. You might lose your job. You might have somebody call you a bad name. I mean, the excuses are endless. For the men out there, I've been talking to a lot of you here recently. And if you think what I'm about to say is in error, please enlighten me and straighten me out. But the men that I know, tried and true, and have gone the longest distance and stuck with it, never faltering, you're his inner circle, guys. You're his inner circle. You're his Gideon-type men. And I know the men of which I speak are humble, and they're not pretentious. They're modest, and they certainly don't consider themselves worthy of that station. But I'm here to tell you that you're part of it. It is you. If it's not you, then you take a look around and you tell me who it is. I've been looking for a very, very long time. Because that's how I felt. There's no way it could be me. I am not worthy of that title by any stretch of the imagination. So I've been looking for as long as this message has been known to me for the men that would be the leaders and the men who would set the example. And I have never found them other than the men that I'm talking about. That means that you are going to be in a position of great importance in the very near future. As far as I can tell, you're going to be rather high-ranking individuals in his army. Now, what our actual day-to-day duties will be during this war, I don't know. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's why his law is buried right deep inside the chest, in our hearts, in our conscience, in our psyche. You don't need a Bible to know that. You don't need 4,000-year-old parchments to know that. It's in your heart. You know right from wrong. You know when you're being lied to. You know when you're being misled. So the sons of Yahweh being manifested is the next big event to play out in Yahweh's end time scenario. The whole world is in travail. Isn't that what the scripture says? Take a look around you. Is the whole world in travail? Yeah, especially as we become aware of a lot of things that were hidden from us. Okay. The whole world is being taken advantage of, raped, tortured, murdered, assassinated, poisoned, brainwashed by evil and corrupt men and women. And that's exactly the honor of all his saints, is to bring the judgments written and execute them upon these creatures who are not even of mankind. They have no soul. They have no conscience. They are evil incarnate. And the only thing you can do with that kind of evil is to destroy it. You don't compromise with it. You don't put it in a prison thinking it can be rehabilitated. In fact, the whole prison system is an abomination of Yahweh's word. The whole court system is an abomination because there's no justice in it. It was a cover. It's time for it to come down. I say hallelujah. It's about time. All right, Revelation 3:10, because you have kept my command to endure, sons and daughters, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, which is to come on the whole earth, to test those who dwell on the earth. Again, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. And I'm going to go back to this one that was sent to me by Barry, one of our listeners out in South Dakota. A quote from the movie Man in the Iron Mask. I'd rather die covered in blood than an old man laying in my own piss. Hallelujah. I changed it slightly for today, for our men anyway. I'd rather die covered in the blood of my enemies than the old man laying in his own piss. I want to be like the greatest of the heroes of our race in times past that considered it an honor to do battle against evil, considered it an honor in the struggle for a righteous cause, even if it requires the most precious thing that you have, your life. We could name a lot of scriptures that talk about those who are willing to sacrifice that for the greater good of our people and just for the cause of justice in general. Something to think about, folks. These are perilous times, but they're also going to be glorious times when we are victorious. So, the phone line is open. If anybody wishes to call in or write in with a comment or question, I really don't have a whole lot else to talk to you about today. There was a lot of things going on. In fact, there was so much going on, I couldn't even hardly keep up with it. But just stay alert, folks. Like I said, we're in the midst of it right now. Randy, I'm going to go ahead and unmute you and just have a word there. Are you there, buddy?
Hey, good evening, brother. Yeah, good evening, man. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
So, you know, I'm kind of, there's a lot of, I'll just say there's a lot of stuff going on in the news. Some of it's kind of confusing to kind of figure out where it's going. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, like, you know, on one hand, it's like we see the president doing some things that gives us hope, and then we see something like a ban on a bump stock, and it's like, wait a minute, what's really going on here? And you know, so I don't. As far as like the banning of the bump stock. From what I can see, I mean, I can already see, many people can already see how Donald Trump is actually trolling the enemy. So I don't know if this is the tactic that he's trying to use to somehow. Some people are making the argument that, well, this is a way, because he knows, like, if this actually goes to the courts, which lawsuits have already been filed, that this, he already knows that this will get struck down and maybe somehow strengthen the Second Amendment. I would like to think that the Second Amendment is good enough as it is, but I mean, I'm not too sure what to make of that. What do you think?
Well, first of all, they can attempt to do that, but it can be shot down in appeal. He knows that people like Gun Owners of America, which is one of my favorite gun rights groups, they've already got the lawsuit drafted. And remember, he has stacked the courts with, supposedly anyway, he's stacked the courts with patriotic judges here lately. And correct. So their lawsuit is going to be successful, and it'll be overturned as being unconstitutional. But I think we have a bigger fight coming, actually. So this is just a bone to throw to the communists. To make them think that they've, you know, maybe had some kind of success. But in the end, the bump stocks, from a military point of view, I've reloaded ammunition for years and have been firing all kinds of firearms for years. And my own personal thing is I don't think the bump stock's all that good myself. I don't. It's just like a full automatic. You know, even if they were... they were not going to harass me for having one. I don't know that I would want one, okay? I was in the military. I know what it's like to fire one. And unless you're very proficient at handling it, it's just a great big waste of ammunition. I think a semi-automatic or even a three-shot burst type situation is much more effective than a full automatic. A belt-fed machine gun, the only use for that is if you got thousands of people rushing your position. Well, then, obviously, a belt-fed machine gun is going to be pretty good. But, I mean, how many times are you going to run into that on the battlefield? Not very often. Most of the time, it's, you know, it's small groups of men going to come across other small groups of men. And, you know, if you use up your 200 to 300 rounds that you're carrying with you and you're out in that battlefield with no more ammunition, that's not a good thing. So, you know, to me, it's a minor thing. It's a principal thing. Do they have a right to limit us in anything that we have as far as weaponry? No, they don't. But here again, we got bigger fish to be worried about at this present time coming at us like a locomotive. So anyway,
that's fair. I mean, like I said, we're getting hit with a lot of news. I mean, like I said, it's hard to keep up with.
It is.
You know, you're trying to figure out like what angle are they playing? Because like I said, I mean, Donald Trump is clearly, I mean, if you're watching closely, he's trolling the enemy. I mean, the stuff that he's putting on Twitter, I mean, he's trolling on bad. I mean, it's funny though, but the latest thing is that he tweeted about this historic victories against ISIS, and he said that it's time to bring our great young people home. Now, the question is, how are those people going to be used, huh? Maybe round up some traitors and draining the swamp come to mind?
Well, that's why I say very soon there'll be no more hiding any of this. And it's either going to be we've been played and all of these different things that we've watched that Q's been talking about and all the indictments and everything else is going to be used against the Patriots, or they've been played and these people are coming together to bring down these criminals and these child rapists. And we're going to be in a very big fight to take them down, and they're gonna lose. They're gonna be destroyed.
Right. I mean,
so one of the others is gonna happen.
We know that they're not gonna go down without a fight.
Well, that's why I think they're bringing some of these guys home, because we do have treason amongst certain elements of the military. We have treason in certainly have treason in Washington D.C. So, you know, I think the citizen soldiers are going to take part in this in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Now, what I find interesting, brother, is that, you know, this just came out about the military coming home. And on your last radio broadcast, we had talked about the military coup.
Yeah.
I mean, perfect timing, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the fathers giving words to his sons and daughters at this time, because after all, really a lot of what he wants us to do is learn how to work together as a team, if you think about it. You know, the book, the Bible itself is mostly about a group, not individuals. And we've forgotten how to do that. We've forgotten how to work as a team, as a family. The enemy has caused us to be divided by race, be divided by sex, to be divided by single versus married, children versus parents, old versus young. Every platform you can imagine, they want us divided. So as we work through these things and we reconnect, then we become a force that's going to cause them a great bit of discomfort. And the world is starting to wake up to the fact that these cabal, a lot of people call them the cabal, as these cabal individuals are being outed and their criminality is being exposed, it's waking up a lot of people. I mean, I've been shocked. I've been literally shocked by the comments. And believe it or not, a lot of the hard-hitting comments are even coming from some of the ladies. I mean, really. Even some of them are calling for hangings and execution and get the hell out of, get the Israeli dual citizens out of here. They should be tried for treason and publicly executed. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. So,
It feels like we know it's going to happen. I mean, of course, we don't know the time or the hour, but it's like it feels like we're so close. And it's like, I mean, the very real possibility of it, this is going to happen in our lifetime. I mean, think about that. I mean, how many patriots have talked about this day for years? And think about all the patriots that are no longer with us. I mean, this is the time and the hour that our country needs us. And we're living it, brother. We are living it.
Yeah. As what we used to say back in the day when I first started learning all this, you have a front row seat to the end of the age.
And, you know, it's a blessing that a lot of us, you know, we've had the honor of being able to learn about all this corruption and all this crimes. You know, we've been able to learn this over a long period of time. I mean, a lot of people haven't had that opportunity. They're going to have to learn quick.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why a lot of people are naysayers about Q. And I'm not saying Q is 100% right, because Q has said some things I don't agree with. But whoever I agree with them most of the time. And a lot of it's common sense. But when Q put the warning out that when everything is revealed, you're going to be very disturbed. I mean, some people are going to actually have breakdowns. I'll guarantee it. Some people are actually going to have heart attacks and die, okay, because this stuff is going to be completely devastate the bubble, the comfort zone that most of our people have built around them, that this is some kind of a fairy tale world where you can literally change your sex and marry a tree and marry a dog and commit race mixing and go and kill enemy or not even enemies but innocent people by the millions, and somehow you're okay because your government sent you or the media gave you some lame excuse. They live in this fantasy world, and so when that bubble is burst and the whole cold reality sets in. I mean, look at what these people did when Trump got elected. I mean, that's it. Trump being elected, look what it did to some of these idiots. What do you think they're going to do when they find out there's people spirit cooking and taking your children and murdering them and then dissecting them and eating them? What's that going to do to these cucks and these snowflakes?
I don't, you know, we as a people, we've had it really good, man. I mean, our founding fathers, you know, during their time, I mean, they knew what it was like to have to get out there and fight and die and that kind of stuff. Most of our people, even including myself, I don't know what that's like to have to go out there and really fight for this country in that kind of a fashion. I've never had to do it before. I mean, sure, right. I mean, we went to our city council meetings, we wrote our letters, but to actually get in the street and fight, I mean,
that's why
we have to do as our founding fathers did. But what choice did they give us? I mean, they're literally destroying our country, destroying our people. I mean, even what does the scripture even talk about in the end days, how the people will chase down these lying preachers? It's all in the Bible, man.
Right.
They're gonna realize just how bad they've been lied to about everything. The government, the preachers, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
The media, we already knew about the media.
Well,
yeah,
that's
no,
where...
You know what? No wonder why they built all these underground bunkers. And the reason why they did it, because they knew what they were doing. And they knew that one day it would catch up with them, didn't they?
Well, you know...
And they thought they were going to run and hide.
You know, the one hiding place I was shocked to find out about, and I don't know, I wasn't there, but this is coming from some pretty damn good sources, including Q. They had built
an
underground hideout under Arlington Cemetery.
Yeah, I just found out about that recently, yeah. What they're saying.
Can you imagine the hubris of these dirtbags to build their hideaway under sacred soil with the bodies of our soldiers as cover? Oh,
right, because
man.
Now if I understand that one correctly, brother, the concept of the enemy of doing that, because our military would not use bunker-busting capabilities to go after them knowing our soldiers are buried there. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Well,
that's what I thought.
The average American wouldn't even look. It's so
correct.
Outlandish. They wouldn't even look.
Correct.
But you're right. Even if it were discovered, their idea is that we would not use weaponry to take out the
correct.
Bunkers. Now, one of the interpreters and the Anons that follow Q has said that the envelopes that were handed to the bad actors at the funeral said, Arlington is closed.
Yeah. And boy, that would match up with their facial reactions. That really
would match up, because that was their get out. That was their hideaway.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And I'm sure there's other ones too, but maybe what it was saying was not only is Arlington closed, but we've found out all your, what do they call them? The slang term for it is bolt hole. We've found your bolt holes, your hideaways. And
yeah,
we
get
are
out
shutting,
of dogs type stuff.
Yeah, the redouts, the secret little hideaways these clowns have been using their billions of stolen money from the American people. To build all these underground facilities thinking they're going to hide out there. You know, it's interesting, back in the 1990s when I was working in New Jersey and I was first learning about a lot of this stuff, and I'd seen what Randy Weaver's family was murdered. So I became kind of concerned. So I contacted a company that specializes in building a 8-man underground shelter that supposedly could keep 8 people alive for a year under any circumstances. It was deep enough that no biologicals could bother you, no radiation. Unless it was a bunker blaster hitting you right on the top of it, you would survive anything. So this company specialized in these units that are constructed at a factory, and they bring them in by truck. And you dig a great big hole in the ground, and they lower this thing down there, and there's just an entrance tube that comes up, and you camouflage it. But I wrote to the company asking about it, and I get this letter from, I believe it was the president of the company. And it's a form letter. I'm sure it wasn't a personal one. It was just a form letter. But in it, he was bragging about his best customers were politicians and high-ranking military.
Hey, go figure.
Yeah. So was that a little bit of a precursor to what we see going on now? Here he was trying to convince me I needed to use his company because his best customers were military and politicians.
Yeah, I remember. I remember looking into those a number of years ago, and I actually, you know, considered it for a few seconds, and then I realized I was like, you know, if things get that bad, I'm not going to go hide. I'm going to get in the streets and fight like my founding fathers did. To hell with these people, man.
The fight,
they deserve
the fight's
what they get.
Up
you know,
here.
I'm not going to go hide from these people.
No. Besides that, what does the scripture say about hiding under the rocks? It says that the enemy,
right.
It says the ones who are doing the evil are looking for rocks to hide under. That's a biblical way of saying what? Going into bunkers.
Right. And let's face it, I mean, our time on this earth is very temporary anyways. So why not fight like a hero like our founding fathers did? A fight for something that's worthy.
I like to, and it's kind of interesting, when I was in Michigan living, one of my favorite teams at that time was the, I can't think of the campus now, Michigan State. Because Michigan State's uniforms and the team name is Spartans, and they have the Spartan helmet on their uniforms. And I always liked that because the Spartans, in my studies of history, the Spartans have always been, always caused me to have great pride in my race because they were warriors. And the only other group that brought that same kind of pride to my forethoughts were the German SS. Now, the Jewish media, as soon as you hear SS, you hear all these, you see all this mental brainwashing that Hollywood has painted about the SS, but that's why you need to buy the books by guys like Michael Walsh and the other historians that tell the truth about the German SS. And the truth of the matter is that the German SS actually had more non-Germans in it than there were Germans. The Germans were the officers, but the actual rank and file were many non-Germans. Okay, there were Indians, there were Greeks, there were Slavs, and many different groups, and not all of them were Aryan. Like I said, there were the darker Indians were there, but the SS was made up of volunteers that came to the Germans because the Germans were the only army that was fighting communism. Because they came from countries where the communists had already butchered and murdered their citizenry, as the Germans were later to find out to their chagrin. So these men were able to escape and join the SS as long as the German SS was dedicated to destroying communism. That's what they don't tell you.
And so, that's why our enemy heavily demonizes the Germans. And they start the brainwashing with our children very early in school about, oh, how bad the Germans were. Brainwashing.
You know, it's funny. When I was a boy in school, you remember we used to get textbooks. You didn't get new ones. You got the people that graduated from that grade ahead of you. You got their books, but you put new book covers. And the book covers were usually like a light brown, and they were like a special paper, and you would fold them, and it was kind of like a big day at school when you got all your new textbooks and you were going to put your book covers on there. And I used to doodle on my book covers all the time. I'd draw figures of Roman centurions and soldiers and different things like that, and spears and stuff. I don't know why, I just doodled it. But one of the things I used to doodle was a swastika. And that was back when I was in like third, fourth, and fifth grade. I would do that, but I had not been brainwashed, and nobody in my family had brainwashed me to hate that symbol. And I found that I thought that was a cool symbol. I thought it was cool. Every time I watched an old black and white show about World War II and I saw Germans, I didn't hate the Germans. I remember as a boy thinking, wow, they're pretty damn good soldiers. You know, they got good equipment, they're disciplined. And then it was later on in high school when we had I didn't know it at the time, but a Jewish female teacher was trying to fill us full of this nonsense about the Holocaust. That's when the brainwashing started. But when I was a young boy in the farm country, there was no anti-German because a lot of my family has German blood in it. So there was no anti-German bias amongst our people. So it was just interesting that I would pick that symbol because out of the blue, it resonated. And then you find out that symbol goes clear back thousands and thousands of years. It's been used by many cultures, particularly Aryan cultures that were the rulers of many of the different subcontinents and empires of ancient times. They were actual Aryans. There's another good book that I've been leafing through that if you want true history, if you really want to know, March of the Titans. It's a large book, but somebody put a lot of work, a lot of pictures, and it ties up all the loose ends about the lies about history. But March of the Titans, excellent book. I hope people are able to get a copy and read it. Our good friend Phil up in Tampa let me borrow his copy out of his library. And it's just a huge book, and every page as you're turning through it, it's another revelation, another point is tied together that brings into historical context truth instead of all this Hollywood make-believe crap where we're supposed to be feel guilty for being white, and you find out it's truly the white race has been the Adamites that were put here to bring law and order on this earth. Our ancestors brought law and order. Civilization followed our ancestors wherever they trekked on this earth. And when those ancestors left and or miscegenated to where they became a mixed breed, that's when they fell apart.
A serious question for you. After, if this goes down the way it looks like it's going to go down in our lifetime, and the once the dust settles, and assuming we're still breathing, then what? What do you think will be our next steps, brother?
Rebuild.
For so many years, we did all kinds of different things to try to wake our people up, and it's like once the dust settles, and at least we've annihilated the enemy for a period of time, at least, because how they always like to come back. But, it's like, then what,
Not this time.
That's what I'm hoping for, but they always need to come back.
No. Obadiah, let me read it. Obadiah, verse 18, the house of Jacob will be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. They, meaning Joseph and Jacob, will burn against them and devour them. There will not be any remaining to the house of Esau. Indeed, Yahweh has spoken. Okay, there's your solution to the question of the century. What do you do with them? You do exactly what the Father says to do with them. And you do exactly what George Washington and the other founding fathers say you do with the vermin. Because they keep coming back like a disease. Any doctor will tell you when you got bad disease in the body, you get rid of the disease. You don't leave a piece of it there to fester and take your health away from you again, do you? Scripture here in Ezekiel 25:14 and also Obadiah 1:18, very clear what the Father expects. And I personally believe that's what's going to happen because the whole world. Let me point something out to you, Randy. This is the first time in the history of man being here that the whole world is going to be given the evidence of what these people have done. Do you think there's a safe place on earth for them to hide?
Their tunnels have been blocked, supposedly.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
Amen. Father has already said that they will not survive. His people, and it won't be, it's just like the German SS, okay? Our people are going to be leading the way, but that doesn't mean that other peoples won't be part of our armies, that other people won't be part of this cleansing. They sure as hell will be. But we're supposed to be in charge. Just like the German SS. The Germans, the officers of the SS were all Germans. But the soldiers that did the fighting, they were made up of all kinds of people, including Frenchmen, Italians, Greeks, Asiatics, Mongolians, anybody who was hurt by the Bolshevik communists ran to the German SS and the German soldiers and volunteered to fight to the death. That's how much they hated communism. And we turned around and stopped them and allowed communism to not only survive, we sent money from Jewish banks in America to their fellow Jew Bolsheviks to make it flourish. The blood of those hundreds of millions of innocent souls is on the hands of the ally nations, and America has the most blood. We have a lot to be ashamed of. We have a lot to make up for. So if anybody out there is squeamish about, well, you know, this here fight might take my life. Hey, how would you like to be the poor Germans that were rounded up and put into the cars, and then the women were taken out and butchered in front of all the other women? How would you like to be standing in that crowd?
Yeah, be thankful we still have our rifles, brothers and sisters.
No, that's why I say as long as we can fight, we fight. And like I said, the first little piece of evidence that this is betrayal means that the United States government is our enemy, and anybody fighting for them is our enemy. I want them to be very clear on that. So they'd better be very open here in the near future. No more of this 5D chess bullshit. You better make it very clear on which side of that fence you're on, because if there's any clue that you're on that other side, then you are my enemy and will be treated as such. And another red flag for us is any attempt to disarm us in any way at all means that you're the enemy. John Locke, the philosopher, said it best. Any man trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. And Locke is spelled L-O-C-K-E, Jonathan Locke. Read it for yourself. Very smart man, read by the Founding Fathers, part of the reason for the Second Amendment. Anybody trying to disarm you, anybody, whether they got the uniform of the United States on or a United Nations uniform, anybody trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. Don't ever forget that. Never forget that. So we're going to find a lot out in the next six weeks, Randy. That's all the longer.
It still is just, I mean, we're getting hit with so much news. It's,
well, part of that's on purpose. Part of that is your enemy is trying to overload us, because they know if you overload, remember the Pavlov experiment with the dogs? The part of the experiment, everybody in school, and I remember it in school, they taught about the whistle blowing, and you fed the dog, you turned the light out, and you beat the dog. And so pretty soon, if you blew the whistle, the dog salivated, was wagging its tail, was happy, it was going to get fed. You didn't even have to have food. Just blow the whistle. And same thing with turning the light out. The dog shook in terror and fear and tried to hide because it was getting beat. You might not beat it. You might not even have a club. But just turning the light out caused that. Well, that's all they taught. They didn't teach the third part. The third part of Pavlov's experiment was, what if you hit the dog with both? You come in and turn the light out, but you blow the whistle. which is exactly what the enemy's doing to the white race right now, hitting us with positive and negative information to where they want us to do just like Pavlov's dog, which is what? Nothing. To sit there in stark terror. That's what they're trying to get us to do. That's why Yahweh said that the deception at the end of the age would be so great that even his elect would be deceived, if it were possible. What makes it impossible for us to be deceived and stand there like Pavlov's dog? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Christ living in us. Pavlov's experiment doesn't work with us. It just helps us identify who the enemy is. We're not going to stand there like Pavlov's dog. I have a rifle. I got several magazines loaded up. I'm not going to sit there like Pavlov's dog. I'm going to shoot you. If you're my enemy, I'm going to shoot you. Maybe more than once. No, no, no. This is warfare. These people mean to not only destroy you and me, Randy, but our children and our wives, our families. And like I said, anybody out there that thinks it's a little squeamish to talk like this, go read what these barbaric animals did to our Russian and German cousins and Italian cousins and the Japanese when they got over there. Go read what they did to these people. And you think it's barbaric to say we should defend ourselves? No, it's you that has the problem if you feel that way, not me. I've read the accounts. It's sickening that these creatures even exist to this day and walk in shoe leather and pretend to be government officials and judges and police officers and military commanders and politicians and news anchors and mainstream media celebrities, clergy, and they partake in that kind of barbarity? No, no, no. I can see Ezekiel and Obadiah happening easily, Randy. Easily. And you're right. The scripture says that there's a double judgment for these so-called preachers who are preaching the doctrines of devils and setting the sheep up for the slaughter, so much so that their own parents will help to hunt them down. When the whole truth comes out, their own parents will help to hunt them down. Hallelujah. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see these lying misfits, these televangelists, these other so-called humanitarians with their foundations and their child organizations for child welfare. All covers for perverts. Covers for perverts.
As the Bible says, in the end times, all things shall be revealed.
Amen. That's exactly right. All that has been hidden will be made known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And look at all the stuff that's been rolling out over the, since we've been learning all this stuff. Look at all the stuff about how it came out about Planned Parenthood butchering up babies and selling the body parts. Think about it. You start putting all this stuff together, man. It's out there for everybody to see. It's there.
If they want to see, if they want the truth, right. I mean, look at look what they did with the children from Haiti, for crying out loud. They caught that Silsby woman bringing the children over here to be served up. That's what Adam was put here to stop. That's what we were put here to stop. That kind of barbarism, that kind of inhumanity, that kind of sick behavior. That's what we're here to put an end to. And if we don't put an end to it, then what good are we, Randy?
That we're no better than the politicians.
We're no better than anything. I mean, Yahweh gave his sons the power and authority. We don't need permission from a government. We don't need permission from anybody. You and I, as his sons, have the authority to put an end to this. All of his sons have that authority. We just have to get together and decide to do it. The world is waking up. Ezekiel 37 is starting to come to pass. The valley, whether it's the whole world or just where the white man lives, doesn't matter. The valley's full of dead and dry bones. That's spiritually dead people, and he's going to pour out his spirit. The spirit of what? Life, justice, health, prosperity. That's what the Father brings. The wicked one brings all the other stuff. And when that spirit engulfs those dead and dry bones, they arise as spiritual beings. They arise as spiritual warriors. They're going to be looking for their swords. When the truth of what these people have done, Hillary and the Bushes were right. They'll hang us from the street lamps. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what they deserve. They deserve to be drug out into the street and hung from the nearest lamppost. That's exactly what they deserve. I wouldn't want to be the one to tell a grandfather, an uncle, or a dad and mom that find out what has happened to their child by these creatures. And I would not be the one that was to tell them that they need to hold back or be merciful. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not going to tell them that. No. Nope. I'm going to sit back and
the rage,
I'm going
to... the rage will... It's like the domino effect. I mean, once the blood starts to boil, there's too many people. It's a force to be reckoned with. Nobody will be able to stop the force that's coming. It'll overpower the enemy.
Yeah, and that was what one of the reports was titled that tonight. It said that they now realize that they can't stop what's coming, and they're panicking. And I believe that if they close down their little hideaway under Arlington Cemetery, how fitting to tell some of the worst perpetrators that your little hideaway has been discovered and shut down. I think that is just phenomenal. Let them stew in their own juices for a little while here.
Right. I also look at the reason why they would have the tunnels and the underground bases. Is because no doubt there's been lots of talk about how they would trigger an economic crisis, you know, that would basically set people into rebellion and revolt, and that, you know, they would go underground and hide and let the people fight, kill each other while they sit underground and have a good old time. Well, tunnels are closed, so it's kind of like, hey, if we're going to go down, we're going with us.
Well, yeah, and not only that, but you got to remember, until Trump was elected, we were headed for World War III. They were already setting the stage for it, which would have been a nuclear war. That was in their plans. All the more reason why what that president sent me now makes sense. These things were biological, chemical, and nuclear shelters. Okay?
Right.
So
yeah, they would all have been underground.
You and I were meant to be fried alive in a nuclear exchange while they sit down in the bunkers. You're right. If the bombs don't get you, then the violence and the chaos that was caused by a banking collapse and a war and all those other hideous things, they'll just sit down there in their little hideaway and let us kill each other off, and then they come out and take over.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What some people would call world depopulation plan.
Well, it's the Georgia Guidestones, right?
Yeah. Bingo.
Yeah, so it's a diabolical plan. There was a couple very intelligent interviews earlier today. One guy is an author of a book, and I can't remember who the other were, but they were giving out a lot of the details about the fact that this plan has been actually out there for quite some time. You had to do a little digging to get to it, but they were putting the pieces together that showed that that's exactly what these people had planned. Okay,
absolutely.
They were going to sacrifice the greater number of us in their striving for a new world order. So the globalists are being exposed, and most of the globalists. It's funny because I go into a lot of channels and go, you know, like the one channel was talking about this guy named Cohen coming out and globalism's good. This is a global world and global economy, global, global, global. So I put it in the comment section, of course, Mr. Cohen, being a Talmud thumper, means he's a communist, and obviously he thinks globalism's a good thing because he's a Talmudist.
Right.
Okay, so far I've yet to get a bad comment on leaving comments like that. It's amazing. I thought for sure I'd hear from the snowflakes and the soy boys and all that. Oh, you're mean. And so far, no, haven't got one. I get some thumbs ups and attaboys and even an occasional heart, meaning they really liked it, but I haven't got a thumbs down yet. So that tells me that there is an awakening, that the scriptures are coming to life as we speak, which means we're very close to the period, Randy, that we've been talking about tonight. This final battle that Psalm 149 is referring to, Psalm 91 is referring to, Obadiah and Ezekiel are referring to, on and on and on. Adam was put here to maintain law and order. And when he's manifested, the travail that the world is under right now will be lifted. And we do it in the name of our King, Yahweh Yahshua. And whenever he wants to come back is okay with me. If he wants to come back before it starts and lead the battle, I'm okay with that. If he wants to come back after we've cleaned up the mess, that's okay too. I don't really care. I just want
Absolutely.
Him to come back. I want him to come back and sit on that throne, and enough of this nonsense from that point on. Because man is obviously proven to be not worthy to rule, period. So, hallelujah. I hope he comes back and takes the throne. He's going to have a rod of iron. That means he's going to rule with an iron fist. He's not going to take any BS off of anybody. I think that's great. You know, these little cucks and soy boys are out there. Oh, Jesus just loves everybody, and he doesn't care if I'm a queer, and he doesn't care if I pretend to be a girl or a boy, or I change in the middle of the day, and if I'm a boy going into a girl's bathroom, because Jesus just loves me. I mean, I can't wait to see some of these idiots explain that to the King of Kings. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The stupidity that people come up with.
That's just the one of many, many lies that the preacher's been telling.
The preachers are despicable. The preachers are on my top of my prayer list every night to have a curse from the throne of heaven upon their heads. The number one thing I want every night is to have them cursed above all people, because as one preacher said many years ago when I started awakening, if the preachers were to preach the truth, there would be rebellion in the streets tomorrow. So the corollary of that is the preachers preaching lies has kept the sheep at bay and sitting on their asses. The preachers are the number one culprits. They took Jewish shekels to preach the doctrines of devils to the sheep. Yep. I can't wait. And I'm going to welcome their parents
the
when they help
about
us.
Those pastors.
Hmm?
Yeah. And we know what the scripture says about the pastors that teach people the lies.
Yeah. It's not going to end well for them. It's not going to end well. It's just like the traitor, Peter Strzok. Q had made a posting that said, I hope the $15.7 million was worth it. So apparently that's the bribe that he took to do the dirty work that he's been doing in the FBI. So
now they certainly get paid a lot more since the time of Judas, don't they?
Yeah, well, because the money's been debased by the Jewish bankers to the point it takes millions now to do what thousands used to do. But yeah, you're right. 30 pieces of silver was what Judas took.
And you know, that's the sick part about this whole game. Is because the enemy says, hey, how much more do you want? Oh, you want 20 million? Okay, hold on, let me go print it. I mean, it's
right.
sick.
Right.
I mean, we... I mean, let's face it. We've spent our whole lives trying just to provide for our family, making, trading our labor for worthless paper. And we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is we just want to provide for our families. But, I mean, we've been screwed over.
Yep. It's nasty.
The shackles are on us, man. And it's time to break the shackles.
Yeah, it's time to stand on our feet as men, okay? We've allowed the enemy to convince us that a whole layer of county and city and state and federal governments and agencies and blah, blah, blah. All these man-made creatures, which are idols, by the way, and we have committed idolatry in setting up man-made gods. And we need to come out of that. We need to remember that we are the prize, the men of Jacob, Israel, his sons and daughters. We're the prize. We're not supposed to let non-white, non-believing entities tell us what to do. That's like going to Satan and saying, would you mind if I implement Yahweh's law? You know, please, is it okay, Mr. Satan, that, you know, I do what our Heavenly Father would like us to do? But, you know, if you really are against it, I'll not do that. I mean, is that ridiculous or what? Why are
Absolutely.
We sitting around wanting man-made institutions to tell us what to do? That's garbage. Even William Blackstone and George Webster talked about the fact that any man-made law that is counter to God's law is no law. And William Blackstone used to be taught in our law schools. His commentaries were required reading in every law school of the land. That's how powerful a jurist he was. And he said, a man-made law that is counter to God's law is no law at all. And yet you got these preachers and these churchgoers and these Judeo-Christian, which is an oxymoron, they're running around saying, you've got to obey man's law, Romans 13, Dan, you got to obey the government. I said, did you read the whole chapter, dude? It says godly government I owe allegiance to. You dumbass. You don't even know how to read the whole chapter. That's how brainwashed people are. Well, the preacher didn't cover that, Dan. He just talked about obeying the government today. Well, you can't pick up the damn book yourself? That's another person I can't wait to sit in the bleachers as he goes up in front of the great white throne and gives them that cockamamie story. Well, you know, the preacher didn't finish the chapter. Never dawned to me to pick the book up and read it.
He just danced around the scriptures.
But
I tell you, you know, it's to know the game plan of the enemy, it wasn't hard for any of us to figure out because they were always contrary to the Bible to begin with. They
right.
were so easy to figure out. You just have to read the Bible to be able to understand what their game plan was so easy to predict. Of course they're for gay marriage. Of course they're for abortion. Of course they're all for those things because they're of their father, the devil.
Right, exactly. And you can find that it's okay. Every one of those things is okay in the Jewish Talmud. Okay?
Absolutely.
So that's why...
And pedophilia.
Exactly. It's all in there. The Khazars yeah. adopted Judaism back around 900, AD 900, because the Talmud pretty much allowed them to be whatever they wanted to be.
Right. And what are the liberal communists going to do? March in our streets and say, no, you can't arrest them. It's their religion. That's how we've been brainwashed, right? Because if
exactly.
you claim it's your religion, you can do whatever you want. Well, no. It ain't going to work that way.
Well, you know, really.
I could see the liberal commies pulling something like that. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But what should our people say? Well, wait a minute. Bring Mr. Epstein up here to the front of the tribunal. Did you pray the Kol Nidre prayer? Oh, well, you know what? You're saying no, but I've got evidence here. I got video evidence of you at the synagogue praying it. And now I can show you a piece of video evidence of you in Congress or you in a courtroom swearing to tell the truth, but you lied. And since you prayed the Kol Nidre, therefore you're a blasphemer. And, well, you know what the penalty for blasphemy is? Yep, take them out back, boys.
Yep.
Hoist
one
them up on the...
all around my neck.
And put the rope around the neck and be done with that piece of garbage. Next! Send the next one in. Yeah. All right? Again, you're a dual citizen? Wait a minute. You've sworn loyalty to what? It's a lie? You signed a law that says I got to swear allegiance to a foreign nation to get help for Hurricane Irma or Hurricane Katrina? Jeez, that's too bad. Is this your handwriting? Oh, I'm sorry. Take them out back.
Now, if I remember correctly, Trump, I believe he tweeted that out a while back. Tis the season for treason?
Treason is so deep and rampant in this country today, it's just unbelievable. Now, here's the good thing, okay? Now, we've been talking about this stuff for a long time, and now it's permeated through the society exactly as the word says. If you speak the word of truth, it will not come back to the Father void. And so this truth has permeated. Guess what? Now other countries, for instance, France, they're now accusing Macron of treason. They're calling Theresa May a traitor. They're calling Angela Merkel a traitor. Hallelujah. It's about time because they are traitors. See, the white man has to wake up to his destiny. The white man has to wake up to who he is. His loyalties is to our Father in heaven and to his racial kin. That's our family. That's what Adelphos in the Greek means. It doesn't mean brother the way we use brother in English. To the Greeks, Adelphos meant you're from the same womb. You're the same race as I am. That's who my brother is. And yet the preachers are telling you, well, yeah, the Joe over here from Nigeria, he's my brother, and Pete over there from the Middle East, yeah, he's my brother, and yep, the Japanese and Chinese guys over here, yep, they're all my brothers. No, they're not. That doesn't mean you have to necessarily hate them. Doesn't mean you have to abuse them, but you don't include them in your family. They're not part of your family. They have a right to life like anybody else. They have a right to raise their children. They have a right to run their countries the way they see fit. And they have a right to have only their people in their countries. But you don't make them part of our family. That's a violation of God's law. And that brings curses. That brings the plague. When Phinehas took that javelin down through the two race mixers in the tent, he lifted the plague. That's right there in Scripture. What was the plague? Well, what plague does race mixing bring? Take a look on the average streets of America and you'll see the plague of race mixing. Okay? Putting racial aliens in governmental positions, which Leviticus and Deuteronomy quite clearly say is a violation of God's law. So, your violation of his law brings plagues. And all you have to do is walk down the streets of any city in America and you'll see the plagues. It's called high crime. It's called filth, as in Los Angeles and San Francisco. Actual, literal human feces everywhere. It's called degeneracy, called transgenderism, homosexuality, all this other crap. The feminist movement, Antichrist. And why do you think the father said that men were supposed to be in charge? Well, just take a look at the white nations of the world. How many of them have women in high-ranking positions all of a sudden? That's a relatively new thing. And what a disaster. Not that men are perfect, but I'm going to tell you something. These females in these high government positions, a total disaster. But the enemy likes them there because just like Eve in the garden, they can be easily persuaded. Men, especially righteous men, not so much. Women, sorry, girls, but the garden story tells you everything you need to know. Satan went and whispered in Eve's ear, and she bought it. She took the bait, and then she convinced Adam to do the same damn thing. And we've been screwed up ever since. And all these men trying to appease these females is completely ludicrous. No, just the opposite, guys. We got to learn how to be men again. Radamanthine, Gideon kind of men, and everything else will start sorting itself out. But we have to come back together under the Father and decide that we've had enough. Manifest says the sons of Yahweh manifested. What does the word manifest mean? To appear in the flesh, right? To be visible. Because where's Adam? Where are the Adam men now? They're invisible. You go look in Washington, D.C. when the TV camera pans the people in charge. How many white Christian men are represented? Almost none. Almost none. They don't exist in the halls of government. We've been disenfranchised. That's a violation of God's law. He didn't tell us to acquiesce and allow the enemy to come in and take over, did he? Last time I checked, we were told to occupy. That's a military term. Occupy till I come back. I left you in charge. I gave you the Holy Spirit as a guide. Okay? I gave you my laws. They're in the scriptures, all the food laws and all the other things, how to grow things and sanitize, you know, sanity or cleanliness is next to godliness. All those rules, I gave them to you for your benefit. Besides, I walked amongst you for 33 and a half years to show you. Because really, you're kind of dumb when it comes to some things. I had to come down and actually show you because you just don't want to listen. You didn't listen to the prophets. You don't listen to common sense. So I guess I got to come down and show you.
This is an interesting news article I was just sent, brother. Legislation protecting special counsel Robert Mueller from being fired was blocked in the Senate on Wednesday for a third time in roughly a month. Somebody's trying to protect him, huh?
Yeah, first of all, that's not even legitimate law. How do you make a law that says I'm going to cover for somebody committing a criminal act? That's stupid.
Ludicrous, man.
It is ludicrous. I mean, that just shows you how desperate these morons are. Huh?
Praise Yahweh for it.
Yeah, yep. They're identifying themselves.
They're running scared.
See, they didn't think that Hillary was going to lose. The fix was in, all right? So that part we do know is a definite sign that something big and different is going on. They figured her to win, and if she had won, none of this stuff would have been happening. None of these exposés right. would have happened. We said it on this program years and years ago. If the righteous were ever to gain power, the whistleblowers and the people that are sick of this insanity would rise up and testify. But they're not going to testify if there's no protection. Can you imagine what it'd be like in Washington, Randy, if you went in there to testify about the Clinton Foundation with Hillary sitting in the White House? You wouldn't last 12 hours. You would have.
It'd be no different. I remember when I was, you know, kind of slow, you know, years ago when I was starting to wake up. Because at the time, it's like you learn all this stuff and you want to tell everybody, right? So I went to city council meetings. And I learned pretty quick their reaction. You go in there and start telling them, hey, they're violating the Constitution. They don't take a liking to that, do they?
No.
They throw you out. They escort you out. They threaten to arrest you. Right. I've had all those things happen to me, man. You know, and it's, you know, when you're first getting started and you're confronting these people, man, it almost seems hopeless. Because it's like you go in there, you give them all this truth, which they hate, and then you got the people in the audience. As you're being escorted out, well, they think that's great that you're being escorted out. They think it's funny.
Well, it's because they're ignorant.
But you know what? I got a message to the enemy, because it's not funny for you now, is it? it's not funny for you because we're going to escort you right to the get poke.
Yep. Yep.
I'm glad the snow's coming, man. I just can't believe it. You know, it's like it's right here. I mean, we waited for this day for so long, and it's here. It's got to happen, man.
Well, like I said, we don't have long to wait. We're at that point, the jump off point right now. The light for the paratroopers out there, the light is on at the back of the plane. It's time to hook up and get ready to jump because we're that close. So every patriot should be on alert. Every patriot, every Minuteman should be like our ancestors, have his gear ready. Because until this thing is, we stop playing the 5D chess nonsense, and it's clear who's who and who's doing what for what reason, we have to be like good Boy Scouts and assume the worst, okay? And we have to be prepared for the worst. The whole time praying, of course, that it's not, but you prepare as if it's the worst. Or as I think it was General MacArthur used to say, a good soldier prepares for war and prays for peace. And that's what we should be, good soldiers. Prepared for war, but praying for peace. Because none of us is violent. None of the citizen soldiers I've ever met in all my years of traveling, none of the militia were ever violent or evil people. Every one of them was salt of the earth, just want to be left alone. But by God, they will fight to protect their families. You come after us and our families, and we will kill you. In fact, we will kill you, and it will not bother us one bit, because we're not going to let you walk over us and get to our families. We're not going to allow you to do what you did to our Russian and German and Italian cousins, and even to the Japanese. We know the real story. We know what you Bolsheviks are like. We know what you've done. And if you think you're going to do it, like I said, I don't know a single man that would have absolutely no problem running a bayonet right through your midsection. So if you want it, bring it on. Bring it on. We'll see who the last man standing is. What do you think, Randall?
Praise Yahweh for that.
Yep, praise Yahweh.
These are exciting times.
Well, they're exciting, and again, I remain eternally hopeful that it's the good guys making these moves, and I've said for lots of years that we men, citizen soldiers are at the ready to help in any way they want. This is a fight, and if there's extra men, material needed, then call on us, and we'll be like our Minutemen forefathers, and we're going to drop whatever we're doing, and we're going to assist. But this battle has to be won. There is no going back. And there is no compromise with evil. Ever.
And I know for a fact we'll bring our own rifles to the fight.
That's right. Most of us have plenty.
Yeah,
we might even have a little bit extra to share, huh?
I don't brag about that subject.
No, of course
I'll
not.
Leave it at that.
That's right. Well, yeah, but where is it?
I mean, I will brag about this because, I'll brag about this because they were plotting and planning against us. That just gave us time to prepare. I'll leave it at that.
Well, yeah, and people have been doing that for a long, long time. I've been meeting them for now. It's been decades that I've known people that have been getting ready. So with decades of preparation, you can imagine what some people have as far as fortifications and supplies. In fact, I was shocked by some of the things I saw. I mean, shocked in a good way. just as how well prepared some people are. It's unbelievable. So
I want to throw out a funny scenario because you know the enemy, you know, when we did the whole Tea Party rallies, the enemy was laughing at us. Remember all that?
Oh yeah.
They thought that was the funniest thing. They even laughed about the preppers. Oh, that's all conspiracy. They laughed at the preppers. But you know what? they were laughing because they knew this was going to come down to this. But see, they miscalculated. They thought they were going to hit them tunnels and go to safety, didn't they? That's why they were laughing at us, because they figured all these guys are basically, they're preparing, they're getting all this stuff. The end result is we're going to be hiding, and they're just going to be on the surface killing each other while we're down there laughing at them. But the tunnels have been blocked. So who's the joke's on them now, brother? The joke is on them.
Well, you know what it reminds me of, Randy?
Checkmate, brother, checkmate.
The verse in Scripture that says that Yahweh laughs at the plans of the wicked, and the other verse that talks about everything they have planned to do to my children will be turned around on them only double.
I love it. I love it.
Right.
I love it.
We're laughing at them now, aren't we?
We're laughing at them, brother.
Yep, I read that in Scripture and in books years and years ago, and I kept it in my mind ever since as part of why I do what I do. Everything they have planned to do to my family will be turned on them only double. Hallelujah. Well, I'm about ready to shut her off for tonight, Randall, unless you got more, buddy, or unless somebody else
knows. No, yeah, I'm good. I've got a long drive ahead of me tomorrow, so I'm good.
All right, Randall. So thanks a lot for being on, and Yahweh bless you and keep up the good work, all right?
Praise Yahweh. Keep that powder dry.
Keep the powder dry. Amen.
Bye.
Take care. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. And dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters, and for those that listen to the downloads later on, if the website's still there. If not, people can email me, and I will send them a link for the show at any time. We have a big fight coming, but we also have a lot of weapons that the enemy doesn't know about, and you are our Heavenly Father, and you guide us by thy Holy Spirit. And with that power behind us, and with right and justice, and our Radamanthine thoughts, and our character, and our integrity going before us, that we are going to do the right thing. And we're going to do this because that is our destiny. According to Scripture, it's our destiny according to even logic. We are the people who bring law and order. That's our history, true history, rather than Hollywood make-believe garbage put out by the propagandists. The whole world is in travail right now as we speak, as we learn of these hideous and grotesque things that these wicked have done. And soon the world will demand justice, and that's when we take a stand. And we will bring justice to those who have committed these crimes. That is the law that was written. That's the law written on our hearts, and that is what's demanded of us. With your help, Father Yahweh, we will accomplish this mighty mission. We will clean up this earth and restore it to its proper beauty and cleanliness and health and prosperity for all of mankind, just as you wanted it to be all along. We pray for your coming to be very, very soon to sit upon the throne, the only one worthy of that position. In the meantime, we will raise up our leaders, and our men will prepare for the great and final battle. And with your help again, we will be victorious. Guide us in all that we say and do. Give us a stiff backbone and clear, concise discernment in the sea of confusion that we find ourselves in. Take us as we grab a hold of your hand as a true father would do for his children. Lead us through the fray to victory. Forgive us our sins and protect us from our enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.